sometimes it's not easy, especially with the time change, getting used to this. So, but anyway, we're glad you're here. Well, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look at some things there in Matthew chapter 5. And that's pretty much going to be the foundation or the beginning, the laying of the facts for us to understand. Beginning verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Now our lesson tonight is talking about mercy. Mercy when it's undeserved. And despite what you might think, mercy is not the sole property of God, as we're going to see tonight. I mean, he talks about these people, blessed are the merciful. And what is it that makes them merciful? That's what we're going to look at tonight and see that is a quality which God desires in us. See, mercy is not justice. No. Justice demands the punishment of the wicked. We saw this in the Old Testament. Someone did something, you pay them back. That's what it was, an eye for an eye type of mentality. We read this morning from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 that God is not deceived, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that is what he shall reap. So, justice demands punishment of the wicked. And those who are guilty or have loved ones who are guilty, they ask for mercy instead of justice because they know they're guilty and the family knows they're guilty and they know what the punishment is. So they cannot ask for justice, and it wouldn't be self-serving if they asked for justice, so they ask for mercy. And even though others may be asking for justice, we see this all the time. Someone kills somebody, the family's over there hoping to get justice. They're hoping the person gets convicted and sent to prison or sent to the chair where they get injected with the materials. Capital punishment. And there's nothing wrong with capital punishment, even though the world says we shouldn't do it. There's nothing wrong with it because even God talks about the necessity of it. But anyway, others might be asking for justice when we would be screaming out for mercy. All right, mercy is compassion on someone based on their need. So when you see someone in dire straits, someone who has a need, something that they cannot control, they cannot help, and they don't know where to turn, that's when we should have compassion upon them to see that they're taken care of, whatever their need is. We said that this morning. When you see a need, you need to address it. Don't just say, okay, be warned, be filled, and go your way and go with God. No, that's not doing anything for them. If you have the ability to help them, you have that responsibility. And so, compassion on someone based on their need. And it is not justice, for mercy extends compassion on others in spite of what they deserve. Some people do deserve to go to prison. Some people do deserve to get executed. Some people deserve this, and that's true. But yet there's other times, and this is where maybe our justice system has broke down a little bit, there's also room for compassion. And the question is, who is compassion shown towards? It might be a little skewed depending upon your perspective, but you see some people getting off light, off a light sentence for something that you think is terrible, and get somebody else getting a harsh sentence for something as simple as maybe shoplifting a can of tuna. I mean, it's really not fair the way things work. But mercy is built in to our justice system. All right. And, of course, mercy is the opposite of payback. Payback, the eye for an eye. You take my eye, I'll take your eye. You take my life, I'll take your life. And that's basically God's justice system, how he set it up. But in the Old Testament, he didn't allow for mercy. The New Testament, he does. So we're going to see that. When people deserve to be punished for a wrong they have done towards us, we want justice, and we want them to suffer punishment. Someone does something, and maybe we have kind of like investments. We have a stockbroker or something, and he squanders our money and steals it, and it was ours, and it was taken away from us. We want that person to pay a penalty. Go to jail. He deserves jail, just like some other people deserve jail. And that's what we want. We want justice because we have suffered something. We want them to suffer. Yet God wants us to show mercy towards those who have wronged us. And that's why he gives us Matthew 5, showing that mercy. In return, God will bless us with his mercy. And when you think about getting mercy from somebody, wouldn't we rather have it from God than anything else? Absolutely. All right, mercy should be a part of the Christian life. And I know people treat us badly, they treat us wrong, they treat us despicable ways all the time. But should we be seeking to make them suffer? No, a Christian won't. Now, if you're not living a true Christian life, you'll want them to get payback. But that is not the way a Christian is. Having only one of the qualities of the Beatitudes will not save us. So we need all these qualities from the Beatitudes that we read. And in verse 3, we see the poor in spirit. Now, these are those who realize their wretched condition before God and they humble themselves. And that's what they do. They're really not worthy of anything nice from God because of their sins. But yet they humble themselves before God, and God will in turn bless them. Humility alone will not save, just like baptism alone will not save. So they need more than humility. In verse 4, we see those who realize their condition and grieve and mourn over their situation. You know, people like Jeremiah who might say, oh, woe is me. I have all these problems. And there's some of us who have basically had to entertain certain problems that we didn't want, but yet they were there anyway. And so we realize our condition, and we really have no control over it. So what do? We grieve and mourn over it, and in a way, we start handing it over to God. That's what we're supposed to do. And these people know that they are in spiritual poverty, and they realize they'll be lost unless something is done to fix the problem. And of course, there's nothing we can do to fix the problem except obey the gospel. And so they cry out for God's deliverance, just like the children of Israel in the day of the judges. They were being persecuted, and all of a sudden they cried out to God for mercy. The children of Israel in Egypt, they cried up to God, says, why is all this happening? Why are we having to go through this slavery and everything? And so God says, I've heard their prayers. And so if we want God to hear our prayers, we cry out for God's deliverance. All right. The meek and gentle will gladly be willing to submit to God. And that's true. Now, those who have recognized their station in life, they're not too filled with pride. They don't have that inner thought that I'm better than you, or it's my way or the highway. No, they're gladly, willingly submitting to God. And this does not indicate a weakness, as some people try and make it out to be. Meekness is not weakness, but it shows a resolve to obey God no matter what their situation. And that's where we need to be. I mean, what is our situation? Sometimes we might be like this in debt and trying to struggle through and trying, how do I get out of this? And we have forgotten, hand it over to God. Sometimes we fail to do that. And so we need to do that and let God take over. All right, this should create in them the hunger to do the will of God, knowing that doing his will is necessary for salvation. And when you look at it, you look at the world today, they don't have a hunger for righteousness. They don't do that. And it seems like a lot of people in the church do not have that hunger for righteousness, the hunger to learn about God and learn how to apply these things to their lives. They just come in, I mean, they punch the time clock and go home. And they expect the blessings to go along with that. Sadly, they're going to be surprised on the day of judgment. And so, doing God's will is necessary for salvation. And when we realize our spiritual condition, we know that something needs to be done. And we learn that only God can do that for us. And yes, He has done that for us. He's provided everything we need for our salvation. He gives us that in His Word. So when we have learned His Word and apply His Word to our lives, we're doing that which God wants us to do. And that is going to help our spiritual condition. It's when we try and do things on our own that we fail. When we submit to God and begin learning of His requirements for us, we have a sense of calm and peace comes over us. That's what happens. Yes, we're going to have that peace come over us. And as a result, we should learn to treat others with the kindness and mercy that God has shown toward us. Because when you think about it, what did we deserve? Well, the Scripture tells us the punishment for sin is death. We should have died. But yet God showed mercy upon us, and He sent His Son to die in our place. So mercy can also be the same thing as forgiveness, very similar. And in the Lord's Prayer, we are admonished to forgive others as we have been forgiven, right? We've all said that Lord's Prayer before. Forgive us as we forgive others. I mean, that's the way it should be. And God has shown us mercy. What should we do? It's impossible to show mercy towards God. Just realize that. It is impossible to show mercy towards God, but we've got to show mercy to who do we show it to? Those who deserve it. Those who deserve justice. Those who deserve punishment. They're the ones we need to show mercy towards. And like I say, there's a lot of people in this world who we don't even know. We know God's penalty for them is death, and we need to show them mercy where we can. But more specifically for us, it's people we know, people we might care about who have wronged us, who have treated us badly, whether it be family or friends, and they deserve mercy. We should show mercy towards them and not hatred or wrath or anything like that. Now, this does not mean we condone sin or turn a blind eye to it. Some of our family members, they basically are not doing the things God wants them to do. They're on the wrong pathway. We're concerned about them. But yet, we're not going to sit there, oh, well, that's okay if you want to be a homosexual. That's okay if you want to be a drunkard. That's okay if you want to abuse whatever. I mean, we cannot condone sin or turn a blind eye to it because it is there. And so we need to address that where we can. It is the Spirit that seeks to extend forgiveness whenever possible, whether it is asked for or not. Now, some people might ask the question, well, if they don't ask for forgiveness, do I have to forgive them? What did Jesus do? I mean, Jesus said forgive them, right? We're going to see that in just a minute. I mean, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Stephen being stoned, he says, don't lay this sin against their charge. Don't hold them accountable for this. I'm willing to forgive them. And so Jesus and Stephen did that, and they're our example, so we should be willing to do it. See, it doesn't hold a grudge or keep in memory some wrong someone has done to us. Does that sound familiar? You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, love is kind, love is patient. Love doesn't hold a grudge, doesn't keep a memory. Love does this. So when we extend forgiveness, we are extending love. We're demonstrating love in the fact that you deserve to be whooped and beat up and put in prison, but yet I'm going to let it slide. I mean, that's love. And that's what God wants us to do. The greatest is love. We know that from 1 Corinthians 13. So we need to practice that. Alright, why should we show mercy to others, and what qualities should we demonstrate to show our mercy? Well, let's look at that. Then we're going to notice a few things. Why we should show mercy. Hopefully it's because we realize our own condition before God and know that God has shown mercy to me. We have to realize that. I was just like everybody else in this world before I obeyed the gospel. I was on the wrong pathway. I was in sin and I was lost. And yet God found it. He was willing to show mercy towards me. And that's how we need to look at this. Because God did it for me, we should do it for others. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Isaiah 59, 2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. And so that's what it does. In Romans 3, verse 9 and 10, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's everybody's condition. And if God didn't do anything, everybody's result of their life would all be going to the pits of hell. Every one of them. There is none righteous. No, not one. But God gave us something different, didn't he? We're all lost because of sin, and we need God's mercy and forgiveness. Because God would say, you are guilty, you are guilty, you are guilty, and you deserve to be punished. And that's what God would say. But then someone gets in the way. A person by the name of Jesus Christ says, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. And he kind of shields us from God's anger and his mercy and his justice. So, God is willing to forgive us because he gave us the means whereby we could be forgiven. Ephesians 2, 7 through 9, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing any human being can do to be justified in the sight of God. Nothing. Nothing at all. But through Jesus Christ, we can come into a relationship with God, and we can come and be accepted of God because of what Jesus did for us. Now, if God is going to send his Son to do that for us, shouldn't we turn around and show mercy to others in less fortunate situations? Shouldn't we show mercy to those who have mistreated us? Because God's willing to do so. And Jesus, that's why he came and died. And he's our example. So we should be showing them mercy as well. Because of what God has done for us, we should turn that gratefulness into treating others with mercy. Now, that might be a challenge for some people. Some people just downright bitter, grumpy people. And they're just going to be that way. They're going to be harsh towards others. And, well, that's the way they are. And that's, we kind of shrug our shoulders and figure that. But you know what? God did it for me. I should do it for others. We also need to realize that for God to continue showing mercy to us, we must show mercy towards others. That's right, it says, blessed are the merciful. Yes, why? Because they showed mercy. Because we show mercy to others, God is going to look upon us and be willing to show us mercy. And we all need it. We all need that mercy. Because if we sit down and examine ourselves and examine our lives, we still feel we fall short most of the time. Even though we're trying our best, we're trying to learn the Bible, we're trying to live right, we're trying to show the example of Christ in our lives, even as doing that, we sometimes feel, is that enough? And so, how we treat others is going to be the standard that we can look at and see, am I doing that enough? Am I doing what God wants me to do? So we should not do this because we have to, but it should be done by a willingness because of joy we have in knowing what God has done for us. That's why we should be treating people nice. Because Jesus treated me nice. God treated me nice. I should treat other people nice. Even though maybe in the back of my mind they don't deserve it, I'm going to treat them nice anyway. That really burns some people up. That's what Jesus said. You treat someone, give them a cup of cold water, it'd be like heaping the burning coals on his head. Or in the Old Testament, talk about the enemy who wants to kill you, and you treat them nice. They just sit there with that perplexed look. Their eyes are spinning around. They have no idea what's going on. But somehow they would feel guilty if they killed you. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Similar situation here. And verse 14 and 15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Alright, that kind of lays it out pretty solid. You can't argue with that. If you're not willing to forgive someone, God will not forgive you. And if God will not forgive you, where is your eternal destiny going to be? It's going to be that fiery torment. So, we have to do that. Might be hard. You might have to bite the bullet. You might have to bite your tongue. You might have to bite your fingers or your toes or whatever. Doesn't matter. Find a way and learn how to forgive others. See, James 2:13, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If you cannot show mercy, God will withhold his mercy from you. And you will suffer the consequences. See, what does mercy imply to others? Now think about this. Okay, we show our mercy. How do others take that? And we've talked a little bit about that. First of all, we do not seek revenge on others, and we do not hold a grudge. We're told not to, right? So there in Romans chapter 12, let the judgment come upon God. He's the one who's going to extend the mercy. He's the one who's going to extend the judgment. See, that's God's department. I will avenge, says God. God says that in Isaiah. Don't take it upon yourself to punish somebody. If we felt that we were high-minded servants of God like the Pharisees, well, we're going to punish this person. They tried doing that. Different people tried doing that. The Catholic Church tried doing that when people tried to translate the Bible into the common language. They didn't want that message getting out, so they killed a lot of people. But see, seeking revenge is God's department. He tells us that in Romans 12. And it shows we are willing to forgive even if they do not ask for it. This answers the question, should we forgive someone if they don't ask for it? Absolutely. No question about it. We should have that attitude, I will forgive them whether they ask or not. Now, that's not going to absolve them of their sin. God is still going to hold them accountable for what they did. But you know what? He's going to look at us, and we're willing to show forgiveness. He's going to be happy about that. We are going to be doing what he wants us to do. And also lets others know that we are here to forgive if they just ask for forgiveness. We got to let them know somehow. I'll forgive you. How many times have you met somebody who would not forgive? Oh yeah, we run across them all the time. I'll not forgive them. And there's some people you might say, well, they are the strongest people. Why? Because they've carried a grudge around for so many years. You think about that. How many people do you know that carry a grudge? Something happened maybe back at the 40 years ago, maybe at the family reunion, they said something and you hold a grudge again. You don't want to see them no more. You don't want to talk to them no more. How often does that happen? Or, Aunt so-and-so, she won't talk to brother so-and-so or whatever. He did me wrong. So you hold that grudge against them. how is God going to respond to that? If we hold a grudge, He's not going to show us mercy. And that's what we want. See, we should look at the example of Jesus as He hung on the cross when He said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And the example of Stephen when he asked God not to lay their sin to their charge. And the story of the prodigal son lets us know the father was eager to forgive. I mean, if you think somebody, he took half your fortune, went off and squandered it and wasted it on wicked living, then he comes back. The father was eager to forgive. The older brother, different story. See, if these Bible examples are put into practice, we will be merciful. And we should be doing that. We usually reap what we have sown. That's true. God says this is true in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. We read that this morning. And those that forgive will find forgiveness from God. And that's true. We will. And those that do not forgive will not have it from God. I mean, very simple lesson there. Those who show mercy will have it shown to them on the day of judgment. Why? Because, yes, we have sinned. But you know what? God, through His mercy, sent us His Son. And if we will follow the Son and become His, then we're going to have mercy shown towards us on that great day. See, if you recognize that God has shown you mercy, you need to show mercy to others. And if you haven't done it, you need to start. If you have to pick up the phone or look up a phone number and find old cousin Billy that you've held a grudge against for 40 years, I forgive you. It's not hard. It's not easy to do. But once you start, it's not hard to do either. But if we want to be right with God, we've got to do that. And when we do that, God will extend His mercy to you. And in a way, when we show mercy to others, are we not imitating the qualities of God? Absolutely we are. We're doing the qualities of Jesus. If you haven't extended mercy to others, do so before it's too late. So in other words, examine yourself and see, okay, you may have forgotten about what Cousin Billy did to you over these years, but you realize, I got a problem with that guy, so what'd he do? Forget him. Sometimes you'll call somebody up out of the blue and say, "I forgive you." They may not have a clue what you're talking about. But okay. That'd be all right with me. Someone say, "I forgive you." Well, I don't know what I did, but that's good to know. Mercy, when it's undeserved, is very special. And it's just something we just got to think about and we've got to apply to our lives. We've got to show mercy towards others if we want to go to heaven. If you don't care about that, then you don't have to change. But if you do care about going to heaven, find a way to show mercy to others. Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing your invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.